Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Ed Morse Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming on the internet, WQAM.com, on the computer, or on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. And if you'd like to get in via the phone lines, talk about Lawrence Timmons going AWOL. Talk about Stephon Anthony, who the Dolphins just acquired from the New Orleans Saints for a fifth-round pick. If you'd like to get in, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell phone, or you can text us on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. You can get us there at 56022. It seems like pretty good value, right? And I know that there's obviously a reason why the New Orleans Saints were willing to part with Stephon Anthony for a fifth-round pick. He was underperforming there, no question about it. But this is a player that just 2 years ago, the Saints drafted 31st overall, was a standout defensive player on a studly Clemson Tiger team. That was the year that Clemson lost the national championship game to Alabama, of course, the year later, but he was already in the NFL. They beat Bama last year, but that was the Clemson team that that beat Al Golden 58-0. Stephon Anthony was on that team. So this is a former first-round pick from 2 years ago, so he's not old, 25 years old, actually, I think. 25-year-old linebacker, former first-round pick. The Dolphins get him for a fifth-round pick. There's value in that, right? Now, obviously, Anthony, who was very good as a rookie in New Orleans, 112 tackles, 70 solo that year, was not good in his second season and did deal with ankle injuries, has not played so far this year. So the Saints had fallen out of love with him. He had fallen out of favor with them. But sometimes a change of scenery is good for these players, right? And in the desperate situation the Dolphins are in at linebacker, more on that in a second, but in the desperate depth situation that you're in, to be able to get a young guy, first-round pick from 2 years ago, for a fifth-round pick, considering the lack of depth you have there, I take that as a win. I like it, and I still hope and pray that Lawrence Timmons can find a way to come back from this indefinite suspension and make his coaches and his teammates trust him again, right? Make them not think he could disappear at any second, because Lawrence Timmons presented a lot of hope for me this year. Proven run stopper, veteran, leader. At least I thought he was a leader. I don't know. Great leaders don't disappear without notifying teammates and coaches. But, you know, we had guys in the locker room yesterday describing Lawrence Timmons as a leader. Mike Pouncey said it. Mike Hall said it. And now it's so bizarre what happened with Timmons. And again, I understand that sometimes you have family concerns and you feel like you need to leave your team even the day before a game. That happens in life. What to me is harder to understand, and I think this is why he is suspended, is thinking it's okay not to tell anybody about that, all right, to leave your team high and dry with no notification whatsoever. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. So this is a pretty good tweet from Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post about the Dolphins linebacking core. At Shad Joe on Twitter is where you find him. Miami Dolphins, at least for now, without linebackers Raekwon McMillan, ACL out for the year, Lawrence Timmons, AWOL, Koamisi, neck, and Neville Hewitt, shoulder injury. I always forget to bring up the Neville Hewitt injury. It's why you're down to Chase Allen and Mike Hulls being the next two guys up, because Neville Hewitt, who's a player that I like, and he's not a great linebacker, more of a special teamer to me, but a good backup linebacker, he's been out with a shoulder injury. And Shad also tweets, Jay Cutler, Ray Mauluga, and Stephon Anthony were not at training camp with Dolphins. Gase, Tannenbaum, Greer are not afraid to make moves. Clearly. And you see a lot of these moves. The common thread here is they bring in players that they have connections with, right? Guys they've networked with before. Jay Cutler, coached by Adam Gase in Chicago 2 years ago. Ray Mauluga, coached by Matt Burke in Cincinnati 2 years ago. Stephon Anthony, a little bit of a looser connection, but Stephon Anthony, former Saints linebacker. Joe Vitt, Adam Gase's father-in-law, is a former Saints linebackers coach. So there's a built-in connection there as well. So they are networking, they are bringing in guys they know. Obviously, the Ray Mauluga thing has not worked out very well so far. Maybe he can eventually come in and play and be a contributor. But they clearly, the Dolphins coaches clearly go after guys that they have connections with. That's kind of the way they've done business so far. Let's talk to Mitch here on WQAM. What's up, Mitch?
Donald, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
All right. Hey, haven't called you for a minute, man. Haven't been able to talk to you, since before the hurricane, because a lot of stuff going on. But hey, I wanted to hit you up on this Stephon Anthony thing. I got to tell you, coming out of Clemson 2 years ago, I really loved this guy.
Yeah, a monster.
I really did. And I honestly thought that he would slide into round two and that's where Miami would grab him. I was kind of disappointed when the Saints took him in round one. And to get him 2 years removed, or a year removed, really, year and a half removed from his season that he had as a rookie, for a fifth round pick, I mean, you got to applaud Chris Greer for this.
Yeah.
Okay. And Adam Gase. I bought into Adam Gase after last season, because of the way he changed the team's identity and managed to win during the season. That's just, you don't do that. And him and Greer are showing that they are not afraid to make moves and to take a risk on a guy who, for whatever reason, fell out of favor with Sean Payton. I was reading some about him tonight, and that's the rumor that he got into Sean Payton's doghouse, I guess, because he was injured last year and Payton didn't like it or whatever. I don't know. I'm not really sure about that, but I know that if they don't rush him back, let him make sure that he's healthy, make sure he's 100%, work him into the defense, and I think that this could be a move that we'll look back on if he returns to the player that he was 2 years ago. This will be a move we're going to look back on and just laugh about how we got this guy for a fifth round.
It almost, and I don't want to proclaim this when this guy has not proven anything in a Dolphin uniform, obviously, but doesn't this remind you of like the types of moves that the Patriots make? Like, it reminds you a little bit of when they are able to trade for Randy Moss when he was a malcontent and he resurrected his career in New England. You've got
and
to hope
got
that
Randy Moss for a fourth round pick.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you got to hope that this is Adam Gase working that kind of a magic. You've got a guy who is an absolute stud, a beast in college, was a first round pick, was a beast his rookie year in New Orleans. It was 2 years ago was his rookie year in New Orleans. You said, a year and a half removed. Like, this is usually the types of moves that the Patriots are able to make.
Exactly.
And the Dolphins just made a move that resembles that.
Yes. And I think that goes back to the no nonsense culture of the Dolphins. They're not, with Gase and Greer now running the show, it seems like they are about acquiring players that not only can play, which, Stephon Anthony proved he can play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it wasn't with the Dolphins, but he's proven that he can play at a very high level in the NFL as a rookie. So injuries kind of derailed his season last year. And, you can go back, like you were saying, to the Patriots getting Randy Moss for that fourth-round pick. And you look at teams like, who was it, Jimmy Johnson, when he was in Dallas. You remember when he traded for the defensive end from San Francisco? He gave up like a fifth or a sixth rounder for him. And his name is escaping me right now.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, and he was an all-world defensive end. No tackle wanted to block him. That guy was great. But anyhow, it's actually amazing to actually feel good about a move like this 2 weeks into the season. You know, it's not like it happened in March. This happened today after the season's already started. No front office management says Jimmy Johnson would make a move like this during the season. No team, no front office management the Dolphins have had in the last 17 years would have done this.
Yeah, and I was surprised by making a move like this because I had honestly thought, and maybe like this could still happen because the Dolphins are still thin at linebacker, but my reaction a few hours ago was, okay, so Timmons suspended indefinitely. Jelani Jenkins got cut today by Buffalo. I thought that because that would be the easier move to make. That this and Jelani Jenkins, not a player that I like. He's undersized. He's always injured. But he did play for the Dolphins last year. He is available for nothing. So I thought they would make the easy move of, okay, let's just go out and sign Jelani Jenkins. We bring him back here. It fits like a glove. They actually went out and made what I thought was a pretty brilliant move today in acquiring Anthony. Maybe they still bring in Jelani Jenkins, but to go out here and make a trade for a former first-round pick who is capable of playing this game of football probably just needs a change of scenery. That, to me, is huge.
Exactly. And to your point, to the change of scenery point, I'll give you a perfect example of that right now. A guy who's playing his took is off. For Oakland, and that's Michael Crabtree.
Oh, and by the way, the player that you were talking about was Charles Haley. A couple people texted in. Yeah, yeah.
He was actually a fourth-round pick by San Francisco, I think, and he ended up becoming an all-pro. And then, you know, Dallas ends up getting him for like a fifth or a sixth-round pick. Jimmy swindled him.
Right.
You know, because he was mad.
And I should have remembered that because I remember Jimmy talking about Charles Haley when he was talking about Jason Taylor before JT was enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
And to your point a minute ago about players just needing to change scenery, like you brought up Randy Moss, and I'll give you another one right now. It's a guy by the name of Michael Crabtree who's playing his butt off in Oakland, and he's throwing up some monster games the last year and a half, or the last year or so. And why is that? Because he's finally got a good quarterback, and he's finally in a place where he's wanted. In San Francisco, who did he have throwing him the ball? And not for nothing, but he was on the outs in that team. They were mad at him, and it didn't really want him because he was a high draft pick that didn't pan out. Nothing he could do would have satisfied the fan base or the front office. So I think this is, like you said, it's comparable to a move that Bill Belichick would make and get a really good talent for a very low-risk investment of a fifth-round pick. And it's a boom possibility with very little bust potential.
Yeah.
In terms of your investment. You know,
this is a guy who's still on his rookie contract, so it's not like this is costing you much. You're right about that.
And now you look at it, too, if he's healthy, you know, midway through the season when this team's getting McDonald back, right, when they get the safety back, you're looking at potentially a very stout defense in the middle of the field if he's getting healthy around that time. And I think this is just a hell of a move. So
love it.
That's awesome.
I appreciate the call, man. Nice to hear from you again, Mitch. And I hope and you mentioned I hadn't heard from you since before the storm. I hope you and your family made out fine with that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously, it feels like Irma, just because our lives have gone so fast since then. Like, it feels like Irma was a month ago, but it was, you know, a week ago was my first day, a lot of our first days back on air after Irma. It was Monday when the storm had passed through, so it's been 8 days, really. But so much has happened since then. It feels like a month. I know some people maybe doesn't feel like a month, or it feels like 2 months because you just got power back this week, but yeah. Some of the texts coming in at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. The rumor from the Saints is that Stephon Anthony had issues learning certain schemes. Good pick under the circumstances. And also, like, if you've got issue learning the schemes in one place, that could be a sign that a change of scenery could help you because maybe the Dolphin scheme fits his mental acumen better than the Saints scheme did. And maybe Matt Burke, who is a real... He's not only an intellectual, he's an Ivy League guy, but he also is very good at kind of putting complicated things in simple terms. So maybe Stephon Anthony will click more with Matt Burke. And it's also an advantage when your defensive coordinator is a former linebackers coach. That may make it easier for for Matt Burke to sort of get to tailor the game plan, at least in a way that Stephon Anthony can understand. So the change of scenery, like if Anthony really did have trouble with certain schemes in New Orleans, maybe the scheme in Miami will fit him better than the New Orleans scheme did. That could be the whole change of scenery thing.
And Donald, I'm looking at it from the other side of the spectrum. Fantasy football-wise, the Saints defense has not looked great the first 2 weeks, so
no.
I don't know what scheme running whatsoever.
Yeah.
But if that was the exact reason why Anthony's gone, hey, listen, I will take that player any day of the week if he had talent once in his lifetime. And guess what? He's been in the league, what, only 3 years?
Yeah.
Still got plenty of age left.
Only 2 years. And no, and to your point, it looks like they're running no scheme. That defense is like, there's no scheme to speak of there in New Orleans. None. Texter writes, and Cam Wake had to hone his skills in the CFL before he was NFL ready. Still hope for Stephon Anthony. Well said. Another texter writes, Gase in the front office is working just like the Patriots have, and that is so good to see. Kiko Alonso has been doing much better with his change of scenery. Yeah, that is a great point, right? And really, I mean, Kiko, like his bigger issue, you know, he always been a good player. His bigger issues, like in Philadelphia, were injuries more so than scheme, but still, like he's not only been relatively healthy in Miami, he also does really seem to fit into this scheme better than any scheme since his rookie year in Buffalo. So that point is taken as well. You know, shifting gears to basketball for a second. Now, I was so happy. I am so happy for Kevin Durant getting that championship last season. Like I felt pride in Kevin Durant being the finals MVP, being able to exercise those demons that haunted him of not being a winner, being able to get past LeBron in the finals, even though he had to join a super team to do it. I'm a Kevin Durant fan. I am. But it puzzles me why some of these athletes, KD now included, are so insecure, they've got to make up fake Twitter handles to defend themselves in the third person. Have you seen these Kevin Durant tweets? This is very... very puzzling to me, because that's the only thing this could be. So Kevin Durant, with his verified Twitter account, responded to a fan, but it looks like he responded with his Twitter account by accident and was meaning to write these things as somebody else. So I'm picturing, like, how do I not picture that Kevin Durant apparently is so insecure, he is personally, like, how does he have time to do this? Like, you're one of the marquee athletes in the world, and you've got time to be running fake Twitter accounts to make yourself look better. It's crazy. But apparently he forgot to switch accounts on TweetDeck. So at Cole Cashwell on Twitter tweeted directly to KDTray5, man, I respect the hell out of you, but give me one legitimate reason for leaving OKC rather than getting a championship. Which, and how old is that question, by the way? Like, people still can't move past that when it's been over a year, but okay. Kevin Durant responded, and the way that he writes this in the third person is what makes it very obvious. He meant to write this from another Twitter account, but wrote it as KD by accident. Kevin Durant writes, quote, he didn't leave, or he didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. It was just him and Russ. Again, that's directly from Kate. That had to be a mistake. No matter how drunk you were, there's no way you do that on purpose. He didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. It was just him and Russ. Another tweet. Imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were. KD can't win a championship with those cats. But oops, you wrote it as KD. So and that's the only possibility, right? Because there's no way Kevin Durant would be stupid enough or drunk enough to respond that way from his Twitter account. He must have thought he was responding from a fake Twitter account. He's so insecure. He's got to have other Twitter handles to try and defend Kevin Durant. Well, whoops, Kevin Durant posted that by accident. At least he manned up to it, though. The update on the story was he didn't claim he got hacked, which is the lame-ass excuse that every athlete uses.
They all do, right?
They all do.
Oh, no, my Twitter's only used to promote stuff.
Right. So at least he didn't claim he got hacked. He also didn't admit that, oh, by the way, I meant to tweet this from a fake account. Like, but fine, he didn't claim he got hacked. He owned up to it, and he apologized to Billy Donovan. So, okay, respect to Kevin Durant for owning up to it, not pretending that his Twitter account got hacked or commandeered or whatever, because that's what athletes always do. I respect him to an extent for owning up to it, but how lame is that? Like, how lame is it that I am now led to believe that Kevin Durant runs fake Twitter accounts just so he can defend Kevin Durant in the third person? Like, why are you worrying about that? Why do you? And I get it that being hated or being criticized, no matter how famous you are, no matter how great you are at life, that's never fun. It's hard to drown that out. When you're, I'm sure that LeBron James sometimes gets concerned when trolls like me will talk badly about him, as I do from, well, not me specifically. I don't think LeBron loses a wink of sleep over me, but when people go after LeBron, I'm sure some of that gets through the armor, some of it bugs him. Kevin Durant, same thing. He's probably tired of people calling him soft, people calling him a P word, people saying that he had to join a super team just to win. Even after winning that title, which I thought validated that, I'm sure he's still sensitive about it, but you really have to be that sensitive that you need to be running fake Twitter accounts just to defend yourself? That is some weak sauce right there. Extremely, extremely weak.
Dono, would you agree that this throws more fuel into the fire with the hate with the OKC fans?
Yes. Oh, can you imagine? Like, you got to.
Like, this now throws more than a cupcake. This is a whole cake itself with just the frosting on top.
Now, I'm such a loser that I am going to be. Here's my homework tonight. I'm going to be doing this later. After I get home, I'm going to be finding Oklahoma City sports stations, listening to their podcasts just to see what people are saying, just to hear what people are saying in OKC, because they must be having a field day with this. And this is funny. One of our coworkers here at WQAM, Frank Sigali, he's a huge Kevin Durant fan. And I'm not tearing apart your boy, one of the best basketball players on the planet. But Frank Sigali, who's a huge Warriors fan, texted me, "That's my boy, Dono," and he's got a picture of himself wearing a KD jersey, the T-shirt jersey. Listen, I still think your boy, KD, one of the best basketball players on earth, validated himself with that championship last year. I just don't understand why he's so insecure. He's creating fake Twitter accounts to defend himself. Maybe I should do that. Somebody calls me lame on Twitter, you get like some random bro responding, "Oh, I think Dono's awesome. What are you talking about?" And you should be nice to me today because it's my birthday. My birthday got off to kind of a bad start today. By myself, because, you know, this was on the way to work. Nobody was around. My wife was at work. I stopped for sashimi today. You know, I'm a huge sushi guy. I stopped at a place that I like, a place that I go to weekly. Good, they do a good job with the sushi there. But I had some bad sashimi today. I'm not sick. I don't think that's going to be an issue here. People were tweeting me that I probably have parasites now. I don't know. But it just was not good. Like, the sashimi was not good today. So I imagine that this establishment that I'm a fan of, I go here often, they probably are still using the fish that they put in the freezer before Hurricane Irma. That could be what happened here. Because I go to this place every week, and, you know, and I'm not one of these losers who gets, like, the tempura roll wrapped with mayonnaise and cream cheese. Like, I'm a sushi purist. I get a piece of fish, right? Piece of raw fish, maybe on a little rice, the nigiri. I'm a sushi purist. I enjoy the taste of the fish. I don't need to dress it up with deep fryers, tempura, cream cheese, and avocado and all this. Like, I enjoy the taste of fish, so I eat sashimi or I eat nigiri. And the sashimi today, I should say, did not taste fresh. I'm not sick yet, but that was a bad way to start off the birthday. And then also, I'm watching the Inter-Bologna game this afternoon. I was hoping to make spaghetti alla bolognese out of Bologna today, but Inter had to fight for a draw. We'll talk about that in the soccer segment coming up. But Chang, my birthday got off to a bad start. I had some rotten sashimi. My team drew for the first time this season. And Lawrence Timmons is AWOL. Things are not going well for me today.
Well, first of all, Elbow, happy birthday, my man.
Thank you.
Okay. Second of all, nobody's going to remove your man card. I get it. You are a true sushi guy. Forget fried food, fried tempuras or whatnot. Dealing with the circumstances that just occurred in our beloved state, you would think that anything raw, you'd think not to eat. Because right. I decided to eat raw food from Publix a couple of days ago, and that did not sit very well in my stomach. And for the second day in a row, I've had food poisoning.
Really?
Yes, and it's a Publix by your house.
Oh, man.
By the Metro Zoo.
Yeah, that is the one that I go to.
So I would say, I know you don't like fried tempura. I know you don't like that specific wannabe sushi roll.
Yeah, it's not real sushi.
specifically today, knowing what we just endured in our state, you would think that eating something fried kills most bacteria at 375 degrees. I'm just, you know, I'm not a mathematician or a cook. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But the thing is, like, I love sushi so much. It had been like 9 days since I had sushi. I had to give it a shot. It's probably radioactive. Like, I'd be better off like eating the fish that are swimming outside Fukushima, the radioactive ones. Oh, and by the way, got some clarification from Sigali, the Warriors fan. He was actually with me on that. He said, no, you're my boy, Dono. I was referring to you liking KD and talking about the Dubs. So there you go. So I guess he also agrees with me. For as much as I love KD, very weak-ass move to create fake Twitter accounts to defend yourself. But I'm glad that Frank is on my side on that. We'll talk some soccer next here on WQAM.
The world's game plays here. Every night, it's time for your nightly football fix on the Alex Dono Show.
Well, birthday could have been worse today. Because for most of the Inter-Milan-Bologna game, Inter was down 1-0. Bologna scored, I believe, in the 32nd minute is when Simone Verdi scored the opening goal.
I'm sorry, Alex. First of all, can we pronounce that as Bologna?
You shouldn't.
Bologna?
No, Bologna should be pronounced Bologna.
Ah.
Uh-huh. See?
Arrivederci.
Oh, yeah, you get it. Arrivederci. You're getting there.
Hey, I took Italian for 2 years in not college, high school.
Oh, oops. You did? So that was the language that you took. They didn't offer that at my...
bene.
Ah, va bene. Tutto bene.
Hey, nah. Oops, that's a bad word. Never mind.
Yeah, don't do that. You don't need to recite the curse words. So the game could have gone better. Simone Verdi scored the opening goal, and Inter was down most of the way. But 77th minute, my friends. Mauro Icardi tied it up. Here's the audio courtesy of Bein Sports.
It's a penalty to Inter. Eder has been taken down.
I'm not quite sure about that decision from the referee.
Up steps Mauro Icardi. And he boots it into the back of the net. Inter a level on the 76 minutes. Icardi with his sixth goal of the season. His third from the spot.
Dono, I love how the color analyst goes, I'm not sure about that decision.
Yeah, what a bastard. Play that one more time. Like, okay, because I watched that play. Eder got mugged. He got mugged in the box. I'm glad you brought up, because that made me angry earlier today. And I wasn't actually watching the Bein Sports feed live. I was watching a web stream from Turkey. Because this Turkish cat on Facebook does a great job live streaming all the Inter Milan games. But when I was cutting up the highlight, I heard that call from Bein Sports. Is it Bein Sports or Bein Sports? Do you know? Who cares? But I heard this color guy. It was such an obvious penalty. Eder just got mugged. Play that call for me one more time. That son of a bitch said, I don't know about that call. Like, I don't know about your call as a color analyst. Why don't you get the hell out of the booth?
It's a penalty to Inter. Eder has been taken down.
I'm not quite sure about that decision from the referee.
Shut up. What, because you're British, you think you sound smart? These British people, no matter what they say, they sound like they have IQs of like 180. So intelligent. How about you're an idiot? How about that? In other soccer news today, this is actually, this pertains to Miami FC. Yeah, I know, of course, you hear Big O talking about them every single day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But the NASL, that's the league that the Miami FC are in, the North American Soccer League, NASL, announced today it has filed a federal antitrust lawsuit against the United States Soccer Federation in Brooklyn federal court. The filing of the suit comes 2 weeks after U.S. Soccer denied the NASL's application for Division II status for 2018. The division structure is intended to provide a set of minimum requirements for a league, including number of teams, geographic distribution of teams, market size of a team city, stadium capacity, as well as the minimum financial requirements for team owners. So it puts the NASL in a bad spot since the U.S. Soccer Federation did not approve this. The USSF had given the NASL, which began in its current incarnation in 2011, numerous waivers over the years. And after the NASL lost four teams following the 2016 season, the USSF granted the NASL provisional Division II status in early 2017, provided it met certain conditions. It did the same for the United Soccer League, which prior to this year had operated as a Division III league.
When these conditions, among them that the NASL expand to 12 teams, were not met, the USSF decided to reject the NASL's application. Rocco B. Camiso, the chairman of the NASL's Board of Governors and the principal owner of the New York Cosmos, which plays its home games in Brooklyn, said after the filing, the USSF left the NASL no choice except to file this lawsuit. The NASL has taken this step to protect not just the league, but also the game, fans, and everyone with a stake in the future success of professional soccer leagues based in this country. The NASL's complaint alleges, this is, by the way, from ESPN FC, this report, the NASL's complaint alleges that the USSF has violated federal antitrust laws through its anti-competitive, quote-unquote, division structure that splits men's professional soccer teams for U.S.-based leagues based on what the NASL describes as arbitrary criteria that the USSF has manipulated to favor Major League Soccer, which is the commercial business partner of the USSF. So I hope that that this lawsuit is at least successful enough to get a settlement, to get this Division II status, because, you know, the Miami FC, which we love watching down here, they're very good in the NASL. And you want that league to succeed, because if the league succeeds, it's also going to be better for Miami FC. And I know that we are months, years away from actually getting an MLS team in this town with David Beckham. But I would love to have teams in both the NASL and the MLS succeeding. I don't want to lose the NASL as a league. I don't want to lose my NASL team because I enjoy going out to those Miami FC games. I think you should support those guys. And in other soccer news, I know this pisses Manny Chang off, but Chang, did you see the brilliance that was Lionel Messi? I mean, easily, like, after...
No, I was actually working at the time, making sure you had sound for tonight's show. So,
because I will say that, you know, after the brilliance that is Mauro Icardi, Lionel Messi may be the second-best Argentinian player out there. It's 4 goals today. 4 goals to give Barcelona the 6-1 win over Eibar in Tuesday's La Liga clash. Is Eibar any good? Are they a bottom feeder?
I was about to tell you. Eibar, in Spanish, Eibar, as you pronounce it, is not that great.
And they're not that great? Well, no. So they're not as good as Bologna, who...
Italian soccer is growing, my friends. It's AC Milan, Juventus, and Inter Milan are back on the map, I tell you this.
So AC Milan, they suffered a 4-1 defeat a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Inter has not lost yet. They are 4-0-1. So they've got 13 points so far in 5 Serie A games. They've beaten Roma. They've beaten Fiorentina. They were on the road today in Bologna. Unfortunately, they did not come away with a victory, but... And Icardi for Inter has scored 6 goals in the first 5 contests. 3 of them were penalty kicks, though, but still, I take it. We wrap up the Alex Dono show on the other side, recapping the Lawrence Timmons situation. Also, got some thoughts on the Miami Hurricanes, who are finally, they've been back on the practice field this week. They're in Orlando, though, displaced because of Hurricane Irma. They finally take the field for a game for just the second time this year, this Saturday, when they welcome in the Toledo Rockets. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. The minor teams, we gotta take it slow. So in the city, yes, be floating, don't provoke him. Cardio girls, we're revoking, got to smoke. It was around 4 o'clock that the Dolphins announced what they're doing, or at least what the next step is with Lawrence Timmons. I know that a couple people have been in their cars on their way home from work. They hadn't heard yet. A couple people asked on the text line, what's the latest with Lawrence Timmons? Dolphins have suspended him indefinitely. But now, indefinite suspension, that it doesn't mean they can just suspend him for 10, 11 weeks. Like, the longest you can suspend him without pay is 4 weeks, but it could be anywhere between 1 day to 4 weeks. Here's more on it from Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, and I definitely go to Florio for stuff like this because he's also a lawyer. He's also an attorney, so he can explain some of these loopholes, the gray area, all that stuff. Miami Dolphins have made a decision, Florio writes, regarding linebacker Lawrence Timmons, and it's an aggressive one. The Dolphins have announced that Timmons has been suspended indefinitely. As a practical matter, the Dolphins can definitely suspend Timmons for up to 4 weeks without pay. He'll lose $58,823 per week based on his annual salary, and he will potentially be required to refund 4/17 of the 2017 allocation of $5.5 million signing bonus, which would be for a total of the 1/17 of that would be $647,000. This also wipes out the remaining guarantees in his contract. He had $11 million fully guaranteed at signing, and that would allow the team to cut him with no further financial obligation. So, in other words, indefinite suspension could actually clear the way to cutting him in the future. So keep your eyes on that. While the Dolphins have remained mum about Timmons' decision to go AWOL while the team was in L.A., they clearly don't like either what he did or how he handled it, apparently disappearing without telling the team that he'd be leaving. Now, he'll be leaving for up to 4 weeks and maybe for good. So basically, when you see that indefinite suspension, that doesn't necessarily mean he's coming back. That means the Dolphins could cut him with little consequence after the suspension is done. And what that tells me is Lawrence Timmons is basically on probation for the next 4 weeks, right? He not only has to show he is mentally reliable, mentally stable, that he can redeem himself in the eyes of coaches and teammates. He not only has to do his part and work his ass off to come back, but you've also got to see how the linebacker position does in his absence, right? Because a lot of this will depend on how Kiko Alonso plays, how Mike Hull plays, how Chase Allen plays, and how Stephon Anthony plays. That's the other part of this story today. 2.5 hours after the Dolphins announced they were indefinitely suspending Lawrence Timmons, they announced they had acquired Stephon Anthony from New Orleans. I like that trade a lot. Low risk, potentially very high reward. They gave up a fifth-round pick for Stephon Anthony. Now, this is a player, if you don't remember him, was a standout stud linebacker at Clemson 2 years ago. He was drafted in 2015, so it means he's very young, 25 years old, former standout linebacker at Clemson, and was a former first-round pick, 31st overall pick by the New Orleans Saints just 2.5 years ago in the 2015 NFL draft. He is capable of playing the game of football at a very high level. Now, why was New Orleans willing to trade him for just a fifth-round pick, a guy they drafted in the first round? Why are they willing to part with him for a fifth-round pick? He was struggling in New Orleans. Now, I don't know how much of that had to do with him being in Sean Payton's doghouse, because people have been writing that in. They heard he was in Sean Payton's doghouse because they may have fundamentally disagreed on certain things. They maybe didn't get along. They clashed. He had certain issues with New Orleans' playbook. Maybe those won't be issues in Miami, change of scenery. And some of that also had to do with injuries. I think he's had an ankle problem this year. But I think the ceiling on this is very high. You're taking a guy who was just 2 years removed from being drafted, 31st overall, and had a very good rookie year in New Orleans, by the way. 2015, 112 tackles, 70 solo tackles, a sack, an interception. This was a productive player just two seasons ago as a rookie. Has fallen out of favor with New Orleans since then, and now the Dolphins have acquired a former first-round pick in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Even if it doesn't work out, this is a good deal. Even if Stephon Anthony doesn't end up being a regular contributor to this football team, I still think what you are getting, the potential of Stephon Anthony, I think is a great deal. And I think that this worked out very well, or hopefully it works out very well for the Dolphins. And hopefully Ray Mauluga can find a way to get on the field as well. And suddenly, so here's the thing, why I say that Lawrence Timmons is essentially on probation. Because he not only needs to do his part to prove to coaches and teammates that they can trust him. Because I think that's going to be the number one obstacle. They need to reach a level of comfort with Lawrence Timmons where everyone thinks he's not going to do this to us again. Right? Because after he goes AWOL, day before a game, disappears on his teammates without letting any of his coaches know, they've got to be confident that he is not going to do this again. And I'm sure that this indefinite suspension means his coaches are not confident in that yet. Because if Adam Gase, as Florio wrote, if Adam Gase, who I assume has spoken to Timmons by now, if Adam Gase was perfectly confident in Lawrence Timmons' explanation, his excuse, his reasons for why he did what he did, if he was confident in that, I think you would have maybe seen a 1 or 2 game suspension and I guess it still technically could be that, right? An indefinite suspension means he might be back tomorrow. But I think you would have seen a little bit more lenient of a penalty and more lenient statement made if they felt comfortable about his reasons for not actually being willing and able to show up to work that day. Because even if it was a family issue, you still need to give somebody the heads up that you're leaving town. So that was the surprising thing there. So I like this Stephon Anthony trade. And for those of you wondering what happened with Lawrence Timmons, what's the final verdict? The Dolphins released a one-sentence statement today. We have indefinitely suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons. That was the statement. That is the situation. And then 2.5 hours later, they announced they have traded for another linebacker, Stephon Anthony, former Clemson Tiger, more recently a former New Orleans Saint, is now a Miami Dolphin. And there's a bunch of Clemson guys on this Dolphins defense. Cordre Tankersley, Byron Maxwell, Andre Branch, now Stephon Anthony. It's like a whole Clemson fraternity on this Dolphins defense. There might even be a player or two that I'm missing here, but you've got at least four former Clemson Tiger standouts who are now wearing the Dolphins uniform. I want to thank Ira Winderman for joining me tonight. Great stuff by Ira, as always. If you missed that interview, you can check it out at WQAM.com. I want to thank Manny Chang for producing the show this evening. Wanted to talk some Canes football. We'll do that tomorrow night, believe me. Canes preparing to face Toledo. Manny Diaz says we need to be in midseason form this week. No excuses. Like to hear that. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. It'll be fight night tomorrow, 6 to 8. Alex Dono Show, 8 to 10, right here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
The views expressed on the
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.